History tells the story of the world and of our lives. Sometimes that history goes bump in the night. Broadcasting from the center of oddity and the supernatural in Central Florida, it's the History Goes Bump podcast.
Hello, you spooktacular people. Welcome to History Goes Bump Redux. I'm your host, Diane.
And this is Kelly.
Kelly, on this Redux, we're going back to the Lord Milner Hotel, which is in South Africa. Are you ready to go back?
I'm ready. On the surface, the Lord Milner Hotel appears to be a mashup of old Victorian London and a medieval castle. The hotel is located in Magersfontein on the Grand Karoo in South Africa and sits along National Highway N1 that links Cape Town to Johannesburg. The hotel is lauded as a tranquil escape, but some parts of the hotel seem to be disturbed. Join us as we explore the history and hauntings of the Lord Milner Hotel.
The original inhabitants of the region that would become known as Magersfontein were from two different groups, the Khoikhoi people and the San. The term Khoikhoi means real people. They had traveled from Botswana and were agricultural people. They raised livestock and planted their food. The San are also known as Bushmen. They were hunter-gatherers. The two groups did have some mixing together, but for the most part, they did not get along. European explorers led by the Dutch East India Company arrived in the area and things went downhill for the tribes from there. The Europeans brought smallpox and warfare began. The Khoikhoi were eventually driven from the land.
In the 1800s, the Cape Government Railways would bring civilization to Magersfontein. The Prime Minister at the time drew a line through South Africa and directed his engineers to build a railway where the line ran. Magersfontein became a small stop along the railway when it opened in 1878. The station was named for a sedge that was used to make mats that were used in the construction of huts. There was a farm near the depot, but that is all that existed until 1884. A young Scotsman by the name of James Logan would change the future of Magersfontein permanently. Logan had been born in Berwickshire in 1857. He decided to head to Australia to make his fortune. But a shipwreck at the Cape of Good Hope stopped him in his tracks. He got a job with the Cape Town Railway Station and worked his way up to station manager. He then became district superintendent of the line between Tuis River and Prince Albert Road. He later quit his job with the railway to purchase a hotel in Tuis and a wholesale liquor store in Cape Town. When Logan discovered a farm and land were for sale cheap at Magersfontein and the railway ran through there, he purchased it quickly. As an added bonus, he found the air to be good for his weak chest. And like any great entrepreneur, he saw a need and decided to fill it.
The Cape Government Railways was efficient at moving people around, but not at feeding people. There were no dining cars as part of the train. People would arrive at Magersfontein and stretch their legs, but there was nothing to feed them. A government catering contract was awarded to Logan, and he started to build a village on the land that he had bought. Logan built a refreshment station for travelers, and he also built his home, Tweedside Lodge, and planted trees and a garden. His goal was to create an oasis. Then he built the Lord Milner Hotel in 1899, which helped to make the area a fashionable place to not only visit, but to stay for a period of time. The hotel was two stories and turreted with a mix of Victorian and Gothic architecture, featuring battlements. The interior was opulent with high ceilings and carved woodwork, and remains so today with very little changing other than modern-day conveniences.
Visitors included Lord Randolph Churchill and Rudyard Kipling. The author Olive Schreiner lived in a cottage on the property for 5 years. The mineral water business near the Lord Milner Hotel is still considered remarkable to this day. When the Lord Milner Hotel opened in 1899, it found itself serving another purpose altogether, and the name was inspired by that time. The Boer War had started around the same time, and the hotel served as the headquarters of the Cape Western Command. 10,000 soldiers and 20,000 horses lived at Magiasfontein. The village served as a base hospital as well. Lord Alfred Milner was the governor of the Cape during the Boer War.
James Logan died in 1920. His son and daughter ran the hotel and the village for many years after that, and then sold it to David Rawdon in the 1960s. He was a successful hotel owner, and he dedicated himself to restoring the Lord Milner Hotel. He reopened it in 1970. In 1975, the entire village of Magiasfontein was declared a National Historic Site. David Rawdon passed away in 2010. His nephew, Jonathan Rawdon, took over the reins and now runs the hotel along with help from his siblings and other family members. Today, the hotel offers 58 television-free rooms, almost unheard of, a suite, villas, and cottages, along with a restaurant, and the Laird's Arms is a pub right next door where patrons can hear Johnny at the piano. There's a double-decker bus on property to take visitors for a quick tour of the village. Attractions include a railway museum with a collection of well-restored railway carriages and an 1893 Glasgow-built steam locomotive. Another museum is dedicated to Olive Schreiner, author of The Story of an African Farm, who lived here from 1890 to 1895.
But more than just antiques and museum artifacts from the past exist here at the Lord Milner Hotel. Spirits from the past seem to be hanging out in the village and at the hotel. Many of the ghosts reputed to be at Lord Milner Hotel are said to be cheerful. Their disembodied laughter is heard while they play an unseen game of billiards. The Logan family claim to host many spirits, and these spirits seem to have a bit of trouble with doors. The Logans would marvel over rattling doorknobs. A woman named Jennifer had just had her wedding at the magnificent hotel. She was busily packing up her gifts when the doorknob began to rattle. The sound carried on rather quietly for a bit, but the spirit seemed to grow impatient, and soon the rattling was so loud, Jennifer could ignore it no longer. She threw open the door and roared, "Fine, come in if you must. Don't make such a damn noise about it." A blast of cold air shot past her and out through the window. The ghost did not bother her anymore.
Dang.
Cranky bride.
A little touchy. Since the Lord Milner Hotel was a place used in wartime, it's not surprising that the ghosts of soldiers are seen here. A lot of times they see them leaning over the balustrade, waving to the people on the street.
Hello.
Kelly said hello and our bird just went, "Hi, Kiwi." A wounded British soldier is seen near the cemetery. His arm is in a sling and there's a bandage wrapped around his head. When people stop to help the man, he disappears. Other soldiers hang out on the stairway at the hotel. From the landing on the second floor rises a little staircase. This leads up to a door that reads Kate's Card Room. This is inside the central turret. When the hotel was more of a health resort, there was a young nurse here named Kate who would play cards with patients. She died mysteriously at the age of 19, possibly in the turret room, because her spirit has been seen floating in there or near the room. A couple of guests went up to the card room and they felt as though there were people in the room, but when they entered, it was empty. The locked door leading to the roof started to rattle, though, and did so for at least a minute. I'd be like, okay, is somebody locked out there, or are we hearing things? A housekeeper was in the room one afternoon and felt as though someone brushed past her, and when she turned to look, she saw a woman wearing a white dress like a nurse's uniform walking. The spirit faded away.
Another spirit here is said to be named Lucy. Another Lucy?
I'm telling you, how many places have a ghost named Lucy in them?
Many.
It's like George and Lucy.
She's been seen floating around the hallways and stairway wearing a negligee.
Whoops. She probably passed away in her sleep and that's what she was wearing. So
probably. Lucy mostly keeps to the first floor and is thought to be the voice heard from time to time coming from a room in the dead of night. Sometimes this room features what sounds like a loud argument with shattering glasses and plates. But once someone enters, they find it empty, quiet, and no broken material anywhere.
And now a little break for a word about one of our sponsors. The author Olive Schreiner lived on the property and has returned in the afterlife. A picture was taken of a tour guide named Johnny. He's also the one who plays the piano, and he's still there. I just saw a recent video. And he was still playing the piano there.
I love that.
In this picture, he's sitting in a chair and two little girls are standing on either side of him. You know, they've got their hands on his legs and mommy's probably said, look here, girls, smile and say cheese. Off behind them is what appears to be the apparition of a woman who is transparent. Now, this transparent figure is so clear that I'm like, looks like it's Photoshop.
It does.
But what is most convincing about the picture is the fact that one of the little girls is facing the camera while the other is clearly looking off to the side directly where the ghost is standing and looking a bit unsure. Does she see the spirit? What do you think, Kelly?
I think she does.
I mean, it looks like it to me because it's not like she's completely turned sideways. It's like she was facing front ways and then saw something out of the corner of her eye and turned to look to see what was there. So she's just kind of tipping her head that way.
Exactly.
She looks like she's maybe 3 or 4.
I would say 3.
Yeah. And she's got a look on her face like, what is that? Or what is that lady doing there? Or I don't know if she's kind of seeing her.
Right.
Cloudy or transparent and is like, what is that? Olive really enjoyed hanging out at the Laird's Arms, and James Logan's apparition is said to join her there on occasion. An article written for Getaway Magazine in 2012 recounts a woman who visited the hotel and was talking with a young man in the pub who told her that he had seen several shadows in the hotel and even a transparent figure on the stairs. She asked him if he had seen Johnny's picture with the girls, and he said he hadn't. So she showed him the picture, and his face went white. And he said, that's who was on the stairs.
Goodness.
The woman who wrote that article then said, I stopped taking the stairs anywhere.
James Logan is one of the most prominent spirits here, which makes sense since he built the place. Logan is seen in all the lounges where the lights flicker on and off regularly. And apparently the lights get crazy in the bathroom as well.
Why are we not surprised?
I was going to say, ghosts. Shucker. A journalist was writing about her stay at the hotel and how she had not experienced any ghosts until she went into the bathroom. She closed the door and the light immediately went out. She turned it on, walked away, and it went out again. She figured it was faulty wiring and turned the light on again. Yes, it turned off once again. She got fed up and hollered something to the effect of, I need to use the loo and I don't want to go in the dark. Please leave the light on. And the light stayed on.
Makes you think it was somebody who understood the issue.
I think so.
It was you, Kelly, being a prankster ghost like you're going to be. And you finally are like, okay, I guess I pushed it. A housekeeper by the name of Jean Dupluis tells the following story. She was alone in the hotel while it was being refitted. The night after the workmen had finished laying new wall-to-wall carpets, Jean was awakened by a ringing at the door. She clambered out of bed and went downstairs, expecting to have to turn away some would-be guests. She opened the door and was confronted by 5 rather peculiar travelers. All she could see of them was their upper bodies.
Oh, goodness.
Yikes. I'd be like, okay, I'm going back to bed. I can't deal. In her astonishment, she blurted out the thought most in her mind. For God's sake, don't make a mess of the new carpets.
That's hilarious.
I'm thinking since she could only see their upper bodies, their feet wouldn't be making a mess. They wouldn't
I would
be
imagine
touching.
Not.
The ghost stared at her blankly, looked down at their invisible feet, and vanished.
Oh my word, that's hilarious. That is too funny. The crew filming the movie, The Story of an African Farm, which was written by Olive Schreiner, as we discussed, had the following experiences.
A ghostly presence joined the cast and crew filming the story of an African farm on location near Majafontein, witnesses claimed. The film starring Swaziland-born actor Richard E. Grant and local actress Karen Vanderlaag will be released at the Cannes Film Festival in May. Producer Bonnie Rodini said she first met the ethereal resident of the farm, Zute Kloof, when she was location hunting 8 years ago. Rodini recalled how the hair on the back of her neck stood up one day when she was photographing the derelict farmhouse. I called somebody outside to come with me, walked on, and took a picture. When Rodini had the film developed, she saw something on the wall that she'd photographed. I turned the print upside down and saw it was a woman in a flowing white dress. That's weird if you had to turn it upside down to see it.
Yeah.
Later, after the farmhouse was restored for the movie, Rodini was reluctant to tell fellow crew members about the farm's ghostly resident. Some of the crew felt the presence in the house while we were filming, especially people from the art department who spent a lot of time in the house, she said. By the end of the 6-week shoot, security guards also saw the woman. One night, the security guards heard a noise and saw a woman in white storming down the passage of the farmhouse. A few nights later, she opened the front door and you could see her from the yard, said Rodini. But it was not only at Zoot Kloof that the cast had strange experiences. Video operator Marco Rinaldi had to move out of his room in the Lord Milner Hotel after repeatedly waking up with a strange feeling in the middle of the night. It continuously felt like someone was looking over my shoulder, he said. Local historian Rose Willis is convinced the ghost that haunted the set is that of Louisa Margaret Green, the wife of a civil commissioner. She was traveling with her husband Henry, who was on his way to become the civil commissioner of Colesburg in the 1860s, but then she fell ill with dysentery and died at Zoot Kloof. Her ghost has been seen often. She wears a cappy, which is a bonnet, has a small waist, and wears flowing white clothes that look like they come from the 1860s, said Willis. John Seams, manager of the Lord Milner Hotel, was not surprised at Rinaldi's experience. There have been many visitors here who've told me they saw ghosts late at night. I've been here for 7 years, and I used to feel scared when I had to close up the lounges late at night. At times, I felt the hairs on my neck stand up late at night.
The Lord Milner Hotel is a distinct oasis in the desert, but could it be something more? Could it be an oasis for spirits? Is the Lord Milner Hotel haunted?
That is for you to decide. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this Redux. I've been your host, Diane.
And this has been Kelly.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.